You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Hey everybody, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are on this spinning and crackling blue and green globe. We seem to have been hit by some lightning during the last night, and that's why it was very good. I was prepared. Because Willow, thank you very much, Willow, for giving me a heads up that things might be awry, and yes, indeed, they were. That was the break for the middle of the show, so I don't know what's going to happen next. We might get the, like, it might be a bit strange, but I'm recording it, I'm archiving it, and for what it's worth, well, you never know what might come out. We're having a spontaneous show this evening, if you'd like to call in. What we're discussing, I want to talk with Walt Silber, he's our regular guest. He sent me some devices, and we've been talking about it, and I don't know where it is, actually. It's gone somewhere. But I want to bring Walt in, and Nancy, and we'll have a good old time. You can also call in. If you wish to call the show, you can. And I'm just going to get the number. All right, there we go. 310-421-4053. But there are other methods, because I'm on this call. I can take in calls from the Wolf Spirit Radio dial-in number. Why not? And let's just add... I can't even remember. Hello there, this is JP on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio, and... We just joined. It used to be called Scottish Sovereigns on the Land, .ning.com, but it's no longer. It is now called peopleforpeople.ning.com. So people for people, all spelled out, not a number, .ning.com. So that's where we are broadcasting out. So welcome there, everybody. Beep, beep, beep. Yes. Clean house, a sign of a sick mind. Well, I must be so healthy. I was just thinking about it, you know, it's like, you know, they talk about spring cleaning the room, isn't it? You know, because in this cottage it really shows, you know, in spring there's some light and you can start seeing all the cobwebs that are built up over the winter that the sun doesn't quite get into because of the shadows. But anyway, so we get the need for spring cleaning. Where are we? I'm just going to bring in, first of all, I'm going to bring in Nancy, my co-host. What happened there? Let's try that again. Are you with us now? Is that Nancy there?
I am, yes.
Yeah,
I am.
Excellent. There you go. Hello, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. And you trying to get Walt up?
Yeah, I just have to search down this long, because his name begins with W. I have to go all the way down. Something has just kind of schlepped my computer down to a complete halt. I'm not going to click anything because it's got all those things. But as long as you guys can hear me, you can hear me, Nancy?
I can hear you, yes.
Good, good. Then things are going to be all right. But all right, guys, I can see stuff, but I can't type anything and it's not working. Anyway. So we'll bring Walt into the show in a few minutes once my situation has resolved itself. Nancy, it's been a few weeks. How's the reality dialer?
Actually, it's very good. It's still running faith, and that's because we. I don't know if Walt wants to tell the story or not, but he got hijacked on a shamanic journey, and ended up finding out some information that then he comes to me and he says, can you ask Gaia, you know, what's this all about? And what was happening was that the next energy to go, and I actually thought the energy was going in this week, and I was on my show, Cosmic Reality, on Tuesday night, 7 to 9 on Eastern Standard Time, on Wolf Spirit. And I thought that I was going to announce that we were about to put in the purple energy, the violet ray, which they've had me, has had on. We get these spirals. People probably don't know what the hell we're talking about. We get these spirals that are actually being used to take certain frequencies and put it into the new reality that we're building. Because we're firmly convinced that reality is what you think it is, and that if you knowingly put the energy out there to build a new reality, the energy of the human mind is so unbelievably powerful that you actually will generate a new reality, a new timeline. Maybe if you want to think of it that way. There's many ways of thinking about it, but it's a new reality. So we were given, guided to build, well, Walt builds them, guided to build these devices based on shungite and the spiral work of Sid Sperling, and to be able to create these devices that are teaching us how to manipulate energy. Now, they're just tools. They're tools to train us in what energy is and how it can be manipulated. The actual real power behind any of this is the human thought. And so we've been working with this for many, many months now, and we put in a different energy. We started out with the pink rose that was a protection energy, an energy of, it's an energy that causes the human body to sort of like identify itself in its own space. It's an interesting, very, very interesting energy in that that's why it's protection, because you begin to feel, to be aware of your own body and your own energy field. And that's what they started us out with. And so we've gone through, I don't even know how many now, we've gone through abundance and, oh my gosh, I can't even think of what they all are. Purity, Walt will remember them all, but we've gone through a whole series of them, and now we've only got three left. We've got empathy, compassion, and the purple ray. And I was kind of anticipating they'd do the purple ray last, but they, when they are about to put in a new energy, they tell me, go get the spiral and turn it on. And so I have to work with the energy for, well, in this case, it's been 2 weeks. I've been working with the purple energy, the violet energy, because I have to be able to know what that energy feels like internally to myself to be able to tune the dialer, the reality dialer, to match the energy. And the reality dialer is basically a radionics box that is built on a shungite spiral circuitry. So what happened was that last Tuesday, I thought I was about to announce that we were going to do this big thing, because most of the time I can't announce it. I have to tell them after the fact, well, now this is running, and already they've had certain things that have happened to them that only make sense in the context of a new energy being injected into the reality. So, like I say, compassion and empathy are going to be tough, because, well, if you're empathetic and you understand what somebody else is going through in a very real
empathic,
yeah, empathic in a real energy way, yeah. It can be kind of difficult if you can't stay grounded and be able to let the energy just flows through you, so that you understand it, but it's not affecting you. And compassion was interesting in that. We had compassion, and then later on down the pike, Walt was asking about peace. You know, what kind of can we get an energy for peace and, anti-war, basically? And the specifications that he got for the spiral were identical to compassion. So if you are compassionate, you can't go around killing people, basically.
That's right. That's right. I mean, in fact, if you're compassionate, you can't actually eat meat because you feel too much for the... Well, maybe, but you wouldn't be able to eat meat, like, just casually. You wouldn't be able to just go and have a burger. but you would have, you know, it would be like Walt would have to do like a shamanic ceremony every time you wanted a piece of fish or something.
Well, which we should do.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's yes, we should be doing that. That's what it's all about, is that I'd have designed it differently, but the reality is if you're a vegetarian, you have to work very hard for it. And there's a lot of people that are not healthy because they're eating only vegetarian. And it would be one thing if you were getting it right out of your garden, but you're not. You're getting it, and sometimes, you know, weeks or months old. And the nutrients aren't there. And so it's very difficult. And you sort of have to play the game that's been put in front of you. So if you're going to take the practical road, which is to eat meat to stay healthy, you have got to be so grateful to that animal, and to promise, as the Native Americans, as the people that understand nature do, you know, you're saying, thank you for your life force. I am taking it in to become a better person, to live, to survive, to be, you know, a good person, to make your death for me be meaningful in the scheme of things. And we don't do that. So what happens is that the meat isn't even nutritional. If you're not praying over it, you know, it's not going to work.
Exactly.
It's not good.
Exactly. So it's a, well, here we got a question from the chat room, actually, from Vanessa, and she's asking, how can shungite be used for big healings, you know, major wounds? I have to say, a few months ago, I cut myself on a piece of iron, you know, a piece of rusty corrugated iron. I thought, oh, that's... So I mixed some olive oil, some shungite, and I think some pine oil for its astringent properties, and put it on this gash on my ankle. And yeah, it's healed up, except now I've got a fine line where the shungite powder is in my skin. It's kind of like a tattoo. But maybe, you know, I've been thinking about this, because shungite is a conductive material, and if you put finely divided shungite, it's going to be like Walt's devices actually on your skin. You know, you're talking actually an electronic circuit if you're using ink that's made with shungite.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the key to the healing in shungite is that it's a doorway to the quantum field. So, what, you know, it's sort of like an enhancer of the mind, the brain body connection. I saw a thing on, I don't know what, one of those morning shows, and they were all aghast at the fact that, oh, science is accepting the fact that the placebo effect indicates that there's a connection between the healing ability of the mind in the body. You know, like, duh, you know, thousands and thousands of years of metaphysicians saying this, and now the media is starting to get it, because the placebo effect was so was destroying so many experiments, as finally they kind of woke up and said, well, maybe we should look at this. If the mind is more powerful than the drug, maybe we should look at this. And so that's where we're going with this sort of thing. And when you've got shungite, especially if you have put it in some kind of an ointment, and that it is embedded in the wound itself, and we're not talking about huge wounds that you're gonna bleed out with, you know, I'm not gonna take that on, but a small wound, you know, or an area that is like arthritic, or an area that has been broken and needs healing. When you're using the shungite, you're actually accessing the quantum field. And the beauty of shungite is that it is beyond being conductive. It has a sentience. You can tell shungite what you need, because it almost, well, it does, in fact, capture your thought form. So if you knew that if you put the olive oil in this sun, that you were probably going to have a healing situation occurring. And that thought then promotes the healing. If somebody is putting this stuff out and thinks, well, this ain't going to work, well, it likely will not work.
Okay, well, that's my machine rebooted, and Skype says it's online, but it's not responding yet, so we're seeing how long it's going to take me. This has been more than 2.5 minutes so far. We've been off the air. Hopefully we'll be back soon. Just trying to get everything running again. One way or another, we'll get it fixed, and it's coming back. Here we go. Here comes Skype. Yes, I know, I've been off the air. Yes. Oh, there's Walt, right, okay, there's Studio B. Come on. Oh, isn't Skype wonderful? So, it probably just decided to run an upgrade while I was there. There we go. Now we can get things going. Now we can have... All right, come on. Where's it gone? It's taking a long time for Skype to log in to the server here. Just to mess me up, really. That's really what it's about. It's just to mess me up. Okay, so I'm back online, and I'm just... come on. Right, okay, that's calling it. Let's see who's back on call. Right, I see the nebula. I am back. Brothers and sisters, please excuse me. It was not me, it was my Skype. I clicked a link. It went down the pipe. Please. This is what happened. Anyway, Nancy, I don't know how long you were going on after everything crashed for me, but I can't even remember. I was trying to get Walt back in, and so I'm just going to drag him in now.
There he is.
There we go. So bringing Walt in. So where were you, Nancy? I can't remember.
Well, I was trying to answer Vanessa's question about the healing.
Yeah. So mixing ointments and things. Yeah, go on.
Right. And what I was saying is that the shungite works with the quantum energy to pull in energy that will heal much faster. You can basically use your mind to tell the shungite, go into a healing mode. And we've also discovered that, we haven't done that, but apparently you can tell shungite to pulse, and when it's in the pulse mode, it tends to be much more 3D oriented, and the effects of the 3D seem even faster. But the thing you have to kind of like get to in your mind is that there's a mineral out there that is magical, but magic is only the manipulation of energy. And it's our understanding of this connection that this particular mineral has with the quantum field that's based on its molecule, the fullerene, that allows it to make the connection and also works with the human mind to be able to program new realities as it happens.
Well, you know, in the old days, back in Atlantis, everybody's comfortable with the idea that back in Atlantis, everything was done with crystals. Well, how did the crystals get activated? How come it was the crystals seem to be so much more powerful than they were? And I think that what we're seeing is that the Shunga is like a test. It's like, let's see how the humans deal with this black stuff before they deal with the white stuff. And so, by way of introduction, the man who deals with walking the path between the black things and the white things, the man of the moment, the dark lion himself, Walt Silver. How are you, mate?
Good evening, everyone. How's everyone out there?
Ah, we are. Pretty out there. Pretty much out there. So, hey, how are you? I haven't spoken to you for ages.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, your beard was only half as long.
That's right. I plaited mine. it's a braid. You call it braided. Yeah, I braided my beard.
So now you look like Tutankhamun?
Yeah, yeah. I was just getting a bit of an Egyptian-looking thing. I was just sitting around with a bunch of people that had nothing else to do, so I was just twiddling with my fingers. You know, like girls plait their hair when they're just sitting there doing nothing and bored. You know, I was sitting there, you know, plaiting my beard up and down. Something to do. So I got nothing else to do.
And does it put a crimp on your telepathic powers?
I don't know. It may be a tuning. It may be a. I think it might actually turn them into scalar wave receivers.
Oh.
You know, it's like a caduceus coil kind of thing. Wow. So, you see, because everybody's been focusing on the vril women, you know, with the long hair, you know, head hair, but. Have you ever noticed how all these old school spiritual dudes all have these long beards? I think there's a connection. I think this is the same thing. It's a psychic antenna thing going on. And you've got something to think with.
Lack of shaving technology?
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but you know. I've also got a thing that the current anti-beard meme that's going around, which is you've got more germs in your beard than the toilet. Actually, people, you've got more germs on your mouse than you have on your beard. On your computer mouse, you've got more germs on that. You've got more germs on your fingers than you have on your beard. You have more germs on your face than you have in your beard. People really are... No, I'm not going to say it. But... you know, there's a whole anti-beard propaganda going on around at the moment. That is, it's because of facial recognition software, and they're trying to make people shave off. You know, make guys shave off their beards, so that their faces can be recognized by facial recognition software. But
you mean you're talking about a fecal face conspiracy?
There's a fecal face conspiracy, indeed. Yeah, you got it. I think that starting on Friday nights in Glasgow, people are going fecal-faced.
But, you know, that's probably very true, because when I saw it, and it was like, when they were talking about there's more fecal matter on a beard than, you know, and it was like, where the hell did this come from? And you're probably correct. It is a conspiracy. They're trying to get you guys to stop shaving so that they can pick you out of a street corner. Dang, yeah. There's always a conspiracy behind everything.
Absolutely.
Why are they bothering?
I'm so glad to know this, because I was really getting freaked out about beards. So now, thank you, because now I can relax.
You can relax, and you may once again kiss a man with a beard. Because there are women who are saying, like, I have never kissed a man with a beard, and I never will. I mean, really? Sorry? Hello? You know, what happens if we run out of razor blades? Well, you never kiss again. I'll never kiss again now.
Why are they bothering with facial recognition software? Why don't they do iris recognition software like in the movie Minority Report?
Exactly. And here's the thing. We had a guest of one of our hosts on the other Sunday, and he was saying he invented the algorithm for chip and pin. And we have actually him to thank for not being in a Minority Report world, because the chip and pin is the most secure challenge response identification mechanism ever.
What
over biometric, of all biometric. The chip and pin, this is like when you have a card and you have a password. You put the card in, you type in your four-digit password. Four digits is all it takes.
Oh, these are those cards that have like a little chip in them?
Yeah.
Oh, like the phone cards and I've only seen them once in the US in the new generation credit cards, but back in 97 when I traveled to Argentina, I was surprised to see that all the phone cards had it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's common over here and in Europe on the continent as well. You know, people.
Well, now they're making it mandatory. My credit card was replaced by one. Every credit card will be replaced by them by the end of or the beginning of July, I believe.
Excellent. So, so biometrics is essentially kind of redundant. And we just have to. So, gentlemen, I'm not asking the ladies. Ladies, you do not drink. You ladies can drink lager, and gentlemen must drink fruit drinks.
If, what is this now?
That's another thing. About men must, you know, I advocate growing beards. Not to show off your manliness, but just to stick it to the man. You know, and also, who knows what industrialization and death processes Wilkinson Sword and Gillette actually actually partake in. There'd be an interesting little thing, you know. What did Gillette do apart from making razor blades? I bet they make machines for cutting, you know. No, I don't even think about what they might make machines for, you know.
Don't forget that they are they still owned by Union Carbide? And Union Carbide was one of the big chemical chemical industry places. I mean, remember the big thing in India many, many years ago?
That's right. And guess who was the lawyer who defended them?
Oh, God. I'm afraid to ask.
Michelle LeBron Robinson.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Michelle Obama.
Wikipedia says that it's Procter & Gamble that owns them.
There you go.
Oh. So
Procter
they changed owners.
Okay, well, Procter & Gamble. Now, isn't it Foster Gamble who's the guy behind Thrive movie? So what are they pushing?
Thrive?
Thrive.
I don't know, you know.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. And I saw it when it first came out, and it was being put up all over YouTube, and then they went and they, you know, went after everybody and made them take it all down so nobody could see it free without getting paying them. And I wrote them and said, look, if you're serious, then why are you asking for everybody to pay you? You know, and didn't get a response. And there are people that are absolutely, totally enthralled with it, but I've got this, I don't like the energy.
What's the film about?
About the new world, the new reality, what we can do. And it's all true. It's just that, you know, so many of these things out there, and it, you have to go with what your intuition is telling you. It's really spiffy information that resonates with you. The information resonates with you. But there is, anytime you don't have a pure heart, the energy that's associated with it can get a little squirrely. It's almost like, oh, not a pure heart. And if you're a pure heart, you're going to say there's something wrong with this. And that's what I get from them.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what's really funny? Go ahead, Walt.
No, I'm going to say, I was just agreeing with Nancy because I have come across that especially. And like reading books or reading channel material where on the, because remember, we are multidimensional beings and you have to pay attention to all your dimensions, not just only your intellect. Your intellect is the tip of the iceberg. And even though intellectually the material is sound and it makes sense and it agrees with other things that you know, but on another level, if you're paying attention to yourself, you feel yourself constricting inside, like somebody squeezing your guts, and you say, oh no, this is, sorry, I'm not going there. There's something on behind this. And it's such a common technique, in this world that when you want to dominate or control or something, you know, the old proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, you give somebody, you approach someone with the absolute truth, and then you start relaying this truth in certain dosages with certain angles and certain biases, so it's digestible because it is true, but the way it's being handled and presented is not, and I've experienced it, so that's why I was agreeing with Nancy.
So what I've found interesting is when Thrive came out, I saw some of the reviews or something, and there was this thing about it that I thought, now, why do I bother? I already know this. There's this sense of around it. It was like, I'm not interested. And it's exactly up my street. Everything should be up my street. They were talking about frequencies. They had Nassim Harriman. They had all the, you know, all this stuff. And yet, there's been a resistance to me to seeing this. And I think, you know, exactly the same as you've had there, Nancy and Walt. It's there's a cognitive dissonance here. And what I get, what I'm getting, because here's the thing, right? There's a few people around here. You know, I live in a place where there's, you could say there are a lot of hippies around, right? And there are various people. I understand where they're at because they talk about certain things at a certain level. And then they'll start talking about they're like the memers. They carry the meme of what is currently going on. Whatever's going on is the, you know, they'll be carrying that meme. And a couple of years ago, there was these memers were carrying the Thrive meme, and I was thinking, yep, because they're like a kind of display, they're like a ticker display of what the mainstream media is feeding people who have an interest in alternative. But really can't go all the way to, yes, we're being run by extraterrestrials who have got a dark agenda, you know, kind of thing. Or, you know, whatever it's the Jews, or it's the Khazarians, or it's the Jesuits, or it's the Pope, or it's the this, you know, whatever. People who ask the questions, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, as long as, because you know there's something afoot, you know, and it's you got to start asking the questions and then start answering the questions yourself, making your own answers. And this is, I think, where we're at, really, is we make our own answers. We discovered what the questions were, and we've found some answers for ourselves, but we realize that the process of making the answer itself is the learning that we need to do in order to get to the next step. Does that make sense, anyone?
Yes, it does, because it agrees with what I've heard from others, like Jim Self, the man who teaches that course on mastering alchemy. He says the answer to the question begins at the point where you ask the question. If you pay attention to that point where you're asking the question, you will get the answer. Will because it's like the same principle as the law of attraction, where the universe does not, the same way that we say nature abhors a vacuum. Well, the universe abhors a desire that's not expressed. As soon as you put your point of attention on something, instantly energy pours forth into that point of attraction. And the same goes with questions. The instant you're formulating the question, the answer is rushing in to fill in that vacuum.
You know, go ahead.
That's absolutely true, and it happens a lot, because when Walt asks a question, like one time he was asking a question, he wanted me to check with what he calls higher command, which I call Gaia, and he asked the question, and I'm listening for the answer, and nothing, I'm getting nothing, and so he realized that he had not phrased the question correctly, and as he was rephrasing the question, he went, ah, wait a minute, and he started rephrasing the question. Before he could actually ask it, the answers flooded into my head. So it's really, you know, not even getting the question out. It's the, aha, I need to ask this question. But you do have to pay attention to what you're asking. And that's the trick to it all, is to understand that you have to be very specific in some cases if you're asking for a specific answer, or so vague and so general that the universe goes, oh, look at this, we've got a project and nobody's telling us how to do it. And then everything happens in a magical way. But if you sit there and you attempt to put all sorts of constraints on the question even, and the manifestation, then you're going to get what you're asking for, and you may not want what you're asking for may not be what you're hoping for. Let's put it that way. That's why we tell people don't get into the details. Oh, I need a new car or a new refrigerator. Don't get into those details. Get into what you want to emotionally feel. You want to feel secure. You want everything to be taken care of. You want to feel love and joy. If you focus on those, the universe will. It's like he says. It answers. You cannot ask a question that will not get answered. You cannot think of something with emotion behind it without there being a reaction in the reality.
Exactly. And here's a very important and interesting observation from Cortec over from the land of Oz, the land down under. The Thrive thing, he says, was stained by trying to profit from the information that is meant to be shared to everyone. And that's exactly it, you know. People, you know, this is information that really needs to be given out free on pamphlets and spoken and shouted from the rooftops, because it's been held from everybody, and we need to understand it. This is why I do my stuff on journeys. It's about, like, for instance, I like to talk about what I call black science, which is, you know, it's about the science of the black projects, which they haven't, you know, there's like a kind of grey zone in the physics books, and they gloss over it, and they make the physics teachers gloss over it, and we lose various access to free energy systems because of inculcated belief systems that have been drilled into them and thus into us. And so we don't know everything. We really don't, you know. And if you think, if you've got university education, you think you know everything. Well, you know, I think, you know, most people do. You know, most people in their 20s think they know everything and think they know it. Because there's a new layer. There are more layers.
You know, going back to the Thrive thing, the other thing that I don't like about it, that I find dangerous even, is it requires a hierarchy in an organization. You know, this thing, when they first put it out and it was being, I mean, I don't even know how many copies went up on YouTube within hours of it showing up. If they had let that run, everybody on the face of the planet would know the Thrive message. But instead, they stopped it because they wanted it to control it. And in this day and age, there is no organization. There is no controlling. This is a time where the individual becomes paramount. We're not going to follow leaders. It will not work. We have tried it for millennia. We have to be our own leaders. We have to know the difference between right and wrong, what works and what doesn't work, what's common sense and what is absolutely insane. That's up to us as individuals. So that's the other aspect of the Thrive thing, that, you know, they were demanding that you participate in their organization. Just an observation.
No, you're perfect alignment with this gentleman, Ra Uruhu, who brought the human design system to the world. For years and years, that's what he kept saying when he would describe the four human types. And he says in ancient times, thousands of years ago, manifestors were at the top of the food chain. All the emperors, all the kings, queens, pharaohs, they were all manifestors because they just told everybody what to do. They can initiate action without anybody inviting them or asking them questions. He says, but that's over. He says humanity doesn't need bosses telling them what to do. They need guides. They just need guidance. People need to be guided, and they'll know what to do. So that's in perfect alignment with what you're saying.
So we need no longer to we can now represent ourselves. We don't need people in our proxy who say they can represent, you know, professional liars and things. Well, by the way, I don't know how the break is going to come up. We've had some issues. Revolution Radio got struck by lightning thrice yesterday, thus blowing out Studio B, which is our studio. Yeah. Not necessarily a desperate plea, because Mike, being a genius, threw a computer together and had a radio station running in an hour, people.
Where is it? Can you say where it's located?
In Kentucky. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, what he needs is he needs a shungite shield to stop that.
Well, perhaps he needs some shungites around. I mean, he did have a lightning arrestor. And it was like, you know, one of these $1,000 things, and it did work, mostly. You know, the whole station didn't blow, only one little bit of it did, so that was pretty good. Yeah.
Let me just ask Walt. Will the Shungite spirit spiral work to put up a shield?
Of course. It's the same. I forgot to tell you before we hung up on Skype earlier when I mentioned the prototype that I'm sending you, and you said, "Well, but I don't like that very much because somebody could take it out of the smart box meter." And I forgot to say, "Well, why not just program this Shungite to be invisible?" So whoever is not the owner of this, you know, won't see it, won't detect it. So it'll sit there for years, and then nobody will even notice that it's there.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. JP, if he will give you the mailing address, we'll get him a Shungite spirit spiral, and we'll have it programmed to protect him from any further lightning strikes.
Yeah, and general attacks.
Yeah, and then if he gets hit, well, then everybody can say that we're nutty. But if he doesn't get hit, nobody will remember we did it anyway. So it's not a real good proof of whether it works or not. It's just going to be a proof of whether we are right or not.
Walt, don't forget to activate it when it gets there. Otherwise, nobody will find it. You know, somebody sent me something yesterday. I can't remember what it was. I don't remember what I was supposed to do with it, and it's gone.
Are you describing yourself, JP?
but I'm talking about like Hawk receives the Shungite protector, but it's set to invisible. You know, He receives it in the parcel, and there's nothing in there, and he just leaves it on the table because it's invisible. It's like the somebody else's problem device. Field around it.
The cloaking device is on, so you can't find it.
That's right. That's somebody else's problem. Yeah. So anyway, meanwhile, actually, I got one of those. No, it never works.
Back in fours.
Yes. Hang on, I do have it. Oh yeah, here's my latest. Here's my latest jingle. This is one I made for Sean. This is the truth.
The truth.
How about that?
Sounds like Twilight Zone.
That's a good one, huh? We haven't had a chance to use it yet. But I thought, give everybody a sneak preview to hear the truth jingle. Mona's just dropping in the... thank you so much, Mona. There's a sheep there. Hang on, let's see if I can capture the sheep. Is it a sheep? Oh, no, it's a dog. It's a dog, not a sheep. I'm just going to transfer that to you. There you go. Ta-da-da. Anyway, there's Hawk's address for you. So, icosahedron. It's a... Yeah.
Where's the zip code?
He doesn't... she doesn't know the zip code. Hawk, if anybody knows Hawk's zip code...
it's Lebanon, Kentucky?
Yeah.
It's the town?
Yeah.
Well, that should appear... That should appear on a search.
Yeah, you can get that. If that's, I'm
what
sure
what is this what is the parentheses what the word in parentheses mean
that's a little hang on, let's see if I can do it. It's a Skype MOT.
It's not a word.
No, it's one of those.
I got you.
It's a little, that's what I was remarking on, everybody. It's like, it's a little jumping dog. If you'd go a bracket, open bracket, dog, close bracket, or parenthesis, you get a little jumping dog. It's very cute.
Nice.
It's like if you do hug. If you put hug, you get that teddy bear. They're doing that cute little thing. So
who should it be attention to who?
Hawk, Night Hawk.
Okay, so let me put this in.
He's trying. Everybody's trying. Go to Skype. Yeah, go to Skype, everybody, and type in the...
That's so much fun. I love it.
Isn't
I love
it
the
cute?
Teddy bear. I actually have the teddy bear that my aunt gave me when I was like 4 years old. I still have it. I have quite a collection.
Do you still have a blankie?
No, I don't have a blankie. I have a dog.
You know, I found some time ago, somebody gave me a cashmere blanket, a little cashmere baby blanket. It is the softest thing in the universe. Even though I've never had a baby blanket or a blankie, you know, like some kids have had, you know, it's like if I had a piece of this, if I'd have had a piece of this, I would have not been the nervous wreck that I am today. If I'd have had a piece of this when I was a kid, I would have loved it. I would have hung on to this like a blankie.
Well, thank God you have it now.
Yeah, yeah. I can go into my second childhood with a very safe, comfortable blankie. Organic.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, yeah. Now, where were we? Healing with Changai. Now, I was just talking also in the chat room. Here's something you don't even know yet. I've been using Changai toothpaste. I mix some diatomaceous earth, that's DE, and some Changai powder and a little bit of coconut oil to bind it all together. And lo and behold, it makes quite a nice toothpaste. Because the Changai is kind of slightly crunchy, it's, you know, it's a slightly abrasive, and it's cleansing and it draws everything out to it. So your teeth do feel very, very clean. You obviously have to brush it out quite a bit, you know, and not use white towels. But it does make it, because you can use activated charcoal in toothpaste. So I thought, oh, I haven't got any of that, so I'll use Changai powder. It works.
So your teeth look like you're a coal miner?
No, they're whiter than they were. You know, I got really stained teeth because I drink tea all the time. But they whiten them up.
And you're not afraid that it could be too abrasive?
You can't get too abrasive with tannin. You have to tackle it hard. No, it's really good, and it's also, to me, it's like I'm giving it some stem cell. This is atomic stem cell treatment as well. So I'm sure.
So you're using the shungite, and what was the other thing?
Diatomaceous earth.
Okay.
It's nano abrasive fossil.
Now, is that the same thing that's supposed to be good for fleas and ticks?
Yes, it's a natural pesticide.
I heard that it's because it dries them up. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know the things that you get for parrots? Yeah? Like those sharp cuttlefish that the parrot chews on.
Oh, okay.
Miniaturize that to nano, and you've got a really sharp blade that cuts into the insect and drains its liquid out. Really gruesome. Anyway, what a way to go. Don't go away. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the other side. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit E and People to People, People for People.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
In breaking news, a visiting Syrian diplomat reported today that their population is evolving rapidly and advancing into a fifth dimensional consciousness. They are seeking peace with all cosmic cultures, which may mean that the Earth will be asked to join the prestigious Galactic Federation of Light Alliances. Please join Debbie West and Michael Hathaway on Lost Knowledge, Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Studio A, for the latest breaking news on the Star Visitor's peaceful contact and the ongoing project of cleansing the Earth.
Sitar music. Yeah, that's better. You're invited to Sacred Cow Barbecue. I'm your host, Patricia Aiken. My guests will free your mind from mainstream noise. No subject is off limits. Don't believe everything you think. It's BS. Just our collective belief system programmed into us. Question everything. Come hungry for truth because that's what we're serving. Sacred Cow Barbecue, Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Jay?
Wolf?
No, what I was going to say earlier is that when on the subject of questions is that question making is actually a science unto itself. And I had to learn it the hard way when back in 2005 I went to that 15-step workshop where they teach you this technique of transpersonal hypnotherapy, where you guide a subject to take their pattern body into the fourth dimension to get healing from their guides and to get answers to their questions. That's what it dawned on me, that asking questions is not as simple as it sounds. Because the way that we humans are programmed to behave, like, for example, you meet with a friend and you notice they're wearing new shoes, and you would say to yourself, oh, I would like to have a pair like that. And you ask the question, oh, where did you buy your shoes? The straight answer would be, I bought it in such and such a store. But we, as humans, we don't answer like that. We say, oh, yeah, I got them. I went to the mall the other day and I was kind of bored and I saw these great shoes and they were on sale and blah. And it's a very elaborate kind of response for a very straightforward question. And I had to learn that when you talk to people's guides or your own guide, they don't gossip. They answer the question, but they cannot answer the question that is not asked. And you have to pay attention to that. And as a question gets answered, it opens the door for other questions. So you follow a line. But don't expect them to volunteer information that you haven't asked, because since they're not allowed to interfere with your free will choices, if you ask a question, should I be going to this place? And you're not asking it right. I mean, is it for my highest benefit that I go to this place? And then you get an answer. And is there something in that place that I shouldn't be going there for some reason? And you have to keep at it to get the complete picture and get all the information out. Because if they say something, yeah, you can go to that place, but it's going to be really bad if you go, then they're interfering. So asking the question, as Nancy said, you the answer comes to you, but like in our case, you have to ask it correctly. So that in and of itself is an art worthy of cultivating, the art of asking the correct question. Because remember, I don't know if you ever watched, I did back in Argentina in the 60s, the Perry Mason episodes. I don't know if you remember his favorite technique for tripping the witnesses on the stand. Perry would go to the table and let's say he was questioning someone who was a suspect, but who's sitting there like a witness, and he would pick up a piece of paper and he would say, what would you say, Mr. Jones, if I told you that I have here a list of all the people that are willing to testify that they saw you on the night of such and such? And if you pay attention, he's not saying that he has any such thing. He's saying, what would you say if I told you? So the correct answer would be, I don't know, because you haven't told me, right? But he proposed it, he presented it in such a way that the person felt convinced, oh yeah, he must be holding a list of all the people that testified. So asking questions is a little bit of an art, a little bit of a science, and it has to be done correctly. And once you get into the habit of asking the right question, and you don't need, and you, I guess your next question is, oh, how do I know what's the right question? Well, you'll know what the right question is because you're going to feel it inside you the same way that you felt something about the Thrive material, where even though the material was in alignment with your belief systems, something was off. The same thing goes. That's the same sense you're going to use when asking a question. You're asking the wrong question, something is going to feel off. So you keep at it until you get the right question. Did I make it too confusing?
No, I think you, and I want to reiterate one of the things that you said, which is something that it must be written in some old wizard grimoire, in some ancient script with ink that is made from the blood of thousands of bats.
Dragons.
Is that answer not the unasked question? It's hard to say it as well.
Yeah.
You know, people all too heartily volunteer. I mean, here's the thing about, like, if you're trying to get this idea of waking people up out, one of the things that I have found in the past is, you know, I talk about stuff and I say, look, this is going on, that's going on, and there's no proof of it, and it's not on the telly, and people wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and then eventually it becomes common knowledge. And then it comes out on the mainstream, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I always knew that. And you never get a chance to say, oh, I told you so. So believe me, people, you will never, ever get a chance to say, I told you so. All right? So let go of it right now. Just plant seeds, knowing that they will eventually take root. But just give people a little bit of stuff that they're interested in. People are not interested in oil or derivatives or whatever, or Zionists, you know. It's hard to relate to Zionists, they're so detached, you know. But you can relate to your soap manufacturer, military industrial complex. Somebody was saying about Wilkinson. Testing on animals and things like that, animal testing. Thanks, Colleen. That's her daughter. Hey, people, leave those dragons alone. Huh. Yes, indeed. Here you go. Now, sticking your finger down into the powder. Can you make ink out of shungite? Yes, indeed, you can make ink out of shungite, and that's a very good question. Yeah? Okay. So you can make... you can use shungite as a pigment to paint, too. So... and then you'll actually have a form of a kind of... actually, Walt, we haven't really got a name for this, have we?
A name for what?
Well, you know that organite is like crystal and resin and everything. But what is shungite in resin? We haven't got a name for this thing. We need to...
Shungite? What else would it be?
Shungite. Okay.
Was it really that hard?
Anyway, so the shungite crush.
So I like that. Shall we use it?
Go ahead.
Quick, we have to trademark it before somebody steals it.
Somebody get a website, shungite.com. Yeah. Anyway, so
you do know that the word organite is trademarked, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I suppose you better on you've got the whole patent thing going there, Nancy. There you go. You heard it here first, folks. It's brewing. It's bubbling up here live.
I heard Walt say it. you got the bucky bag thing. I'll give you that.
I'm not claiming. But anyway, but what I'm saying is, if you then used shungite as a pigment in paint, you're doing more or less the same thing. In a very thin coating way.
They have paint. They have shungite paint out.
Yeah, and you can get it. And it will, I imagine, be programmable in the way that you're talking about, Walt. What do you think? Because it's exactly the same as the material in the obelisk and monolith.
Indeed. It's interesting that it would be like in a paint situation, it would be so two-dimensional. So it's worth experimenting with.
Yeah, I imagine.
Just remember, it's not the same powder. It's not the same powder. Walt's using silver saturated shungite in those monoliths.
That's not true.
Both.
Not active powder.
I'm using both on those.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, that's still, I mean, it's something. I mean, because what I did is I got some PVA, very common glue material, and you can mix it with all sorts, you know, people mix it with all sorts of stuff. You can mix it with, for instance, really good thing with PVA is you use wood chips, or sawdust. Mix sawdust with PVA, and you've got a wood filler. You know, it creates a kind of artificial wood bound together by the molecules of the PVA. So I took some
is
of that.
Is that what you buy in stores?
Yeah.
Board?
Yeah, the white, more or less, exactly. I took some shungite and I mixed shungite powder and I mixed it in with some PVA and I painted it on the inside of the back of my mobile phone. And I think I painted over the aerial because it doesn't work so well now. It's just like I was a little indiscriminate with it. I have to scrape a bit off where I'm going to find where the aerial is. But at the moment, it doesn't really matter. I don't want anybody to talk to me, so who cares?
Why would you do that when you just had to put a Band-Aid on it?
Well, this is look, Nancy, this was like 9 months ago.
Oh, okay, then yeah. I can totally understand.
Yeah, this is months ago.
Now, this PVA...
You were still developing the technology.
Yeah, so, I mean, so what we're talking about is being able to suspend powders in different materials that give different results. And that they're not exclusive. So a Bucky Band-Aid, for instance, is shungite powder that's held between the pieces of aluminium. With a layer of glue to hold it all, you know, down onto the thing.
Aluminum.
Aluminium.
I'm just telling our American people.
Nancy's translating. Aluminum. Aluminum. It may be possible to apply it directly to some other thing as a paint, allow that paint to dry on, and put a sticker over it. That's one of the I'm going to experiment with doing that and see what the power of those are.
I was suggesting clear nail enamel for the case of the smartphones because Stephanie has been asked by people that own smartwatches how to go about protecting their device with the shungite. So I suggested to Nancy, well, if you take the powder and mix it with clear nail enamel, which is actually designed to tolerate wear and tear,
yep,
and just put a little drop of it on the back of it or on some surface of the watch, and it'll be tiny and it'll just hold the powder in place and it should stay there for a really long time.
A Bucky Black Spot.
The thing that Nancy doesn't like the idea of shipping nail polish anywhere because it gets into a whole shipping issue.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking what you could do is put a little drop onto a tiny self-adhesive dot, and then you can send those, and they'll stick to the back of the thing and be still quite unobtrusive. And you know,
you have it, Nancy.
There you go. You got that, Nancy?
Well, as I've tried to explain, you know, how stupid are you people that you're putting this thing over your wrist? You know, I mean, please, I can't save everybody. We've got so many products right now. We've got so many in the mill. And these are products designed to protect people against a system that is trying to destroy them. But when you just say, oh, I think I'll put this thing on my wrist, what for? And, you know, to be stylish or because this device is got an electromagnetic field that's rotating counterclockwise. You have now put it over your blood supply, back and forth. And now your blood is going through this terrible field, and if it goes through enough times, you're going to have all of your blood rotating counterclockwise. You want to become cancer-ridden very quickly? I'm sorry. This, to me, is atrocious. And I don't want to make a fix for it because I think the fix is don't be so stupid to fall into that trap. they're not killing you fast enough. So let's give them this thing that they can put on and think they're really neat because they got it, and kill them faster. I'm sorry, I just find this atrocious.
Whoa, whoa, Nancy, whoa, no. Come down there. Bless your heart. Yeah,
you
but anyway,
I give up my Wi-Fi enabled underwear.
Oh no. What about my no, my Bluetooth suppository. No, stop it. Anyway, let's segue. We have a caller. We know who you are. We know who you are. Rob from New Mexico. Come in, Rob from New Mexico. Are you there? Are you there? Can you hear me? This is Scotland calling.
Yes, JP, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. There you are. What's up?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the show tonight. It sounds like everyone's getting together with some good ideas and some cool stuff. I support everything involved with this Shungite. I like it when you talk about this. My friends tune in also to hear this.
Hello, Rob's friends. Who are your friends? Do you want to give a shout-out?
Well, you know, the Vril, you know, and you know, all those nice people over there in the production of the movie Doom.
Doom or Dune?
Dune. So, yeah, JP, just, you know, wanted to say hi to you, enjoying the show. Definitely want to agree with your panel there. They're talking about how different energies take place with the use of this meteorite, Shungite. And I've done some experiments myself, and I've watched it actually physically remove energies and actually rotate them into more of a positive direction when they were rotating in more of a negative direction. I can almost put that on video and send that to someone if anyone's ever interested, because I'm fascinated with the stuff. Nancy and Walt, you guys are on the cutting edge of some really, really neat things, so keep up the good work.
Okay, I would actually ask you, yes, we want to see those videos, because much of what we're doing can be tested, but we haven't gotten to that point that we can afford the testing, and that, you know, people are looking to us to test it. So we have to go on experience and what we're seeing, what we're observing. One of the things that you might be interested in is Walt made a device that resonates an energy that puts oxygen into water. And he threw it into a pond that was a runoff of, there's a bigger pond up above it, and when that pond gets full, it gets up and goes through a pipe and then fills the smaller pond. So the smaller pond is stagnant for, you know, and much less, so it's prone to being a dead water. So this winter he took and he made the device and he threw it into the open part of the pond where the ice hadn't gone over it. And Walt, tell him what you see today after it's been in there for, what, 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, are the pictures still up on your website?
They are under they're there under the April shows, the April Cosmic Reality shows. You can go to cosmicreality.net, hit on the Wolf Spirit tab, go to the Cosmic Reality archives, and you can get the April shows, and there's pictures up there that will show you the ponds we're talking about.
When I hear you talk about this, I don't want to get off topic, but it makes me think about possibly helping cleanse radioactive water or other you know, forms of water that are possibly contaminated, that this could possibly turn that energy around and make it worth, you know, bring the water back to life.
Well, we're looking for volunteers.
But we want to start with the oxygen, because there's so many. If there's anybody out there that's got water that they keep going, oh my God, I got to do something about this. Contact us. The device is going to be. It's going to cost you, because we can't afford to build these devices. We don't make money on them. We're just doing the time that Walt spends on this and the materials we do have to pay for. So we're not, the store or me or anybody else is not making money like this, but we need you to participate, to put your energy in the form of the money, and we'll turn around and give you energy that hopefully will work in these ponds. We've had it in swimming pools, and they don't, you know, the swimming people, they're caring for the pools, are going like, ma'am, I can't put any more calcium phosphate in here because you don't need it. And, you know, stuff like this. So If you want to play with us and build a new reality, just contact us at cosmicreality.net, and we'll try to work together to get you something that then you can do, like Rob's doing here, is to pay attention, to do your own experimentation, and then let us know, the rest of us know what's happening, because we got to go together.
I can just share with you one real little quick experiment that I made. With my shungite powder, I actually took apart a shower filter that I used to have. It was an older shower filter that got dirty. Are you familiar with those that they go up kind of on the shower? I actually took out what was inside there, and I replaced it with ground-up shungite. And I'm now taking shungite showers. I don't know if someone else has been doing that, but I just got to tell you guys, Walt, Nancy, I learned this from you, okay? I had absolutely no clue about this type of energy work and what it can do. I'm fascinated by it. So, yeah, cosmic reality is definitely going to be part of my future, and I want to let my friends know all about it.
So now you have the responsibility to teach others.
Yeah, my friends are, some of them actually are, I don't want to say wealthy, but they're interested in maybe investing in this type of technology, because this is kind of, you know, on the cutting edge of what we need to get involved with.
To me, it's the future. And it's to the Russians, it's the future. I mean, they have been studying it much longer than we have, and they call it the medicine of the 21st century, and that it's going to be worth more than gold. And when I first heard that, I thought, well, that's a little far out. But the more I deal with it, and the more we actually are having problems in getting it. Now, not the kind of critical problems that can cripple us now, because I was anticipating that we could run into a problem. So we've been just bringing in as much as we could afford for months. But the supply is getting weird. I've actually had to change.
Yeah, Nancy, I'm also curious to know what you do with the bricks, because it seems to me like the energy concentration with the shungite bricks, when you actually get down, you can actually feel more like, I want to say the nano lattice. I think Walt talked about that, but there's actually a more concentration of energy with the bricks, at least for me. But, you know, that's just, I just want to share that with you.
Well, what we've actually discovered is the opposite of that. Is that yes, the bricks have an energy that is very, very special. It's different than the nuggets. It's awesome. However, if you study what we've been studying about the shungite, the smaller the particle, the closer you get to the quantum field, the more powerful the individual fields become. So you can take a big brick and you can take a small pinch of powder, and the powder is going to put out a more intense field than will the brick. It's a different type of field.
Wow,
but
so the concentrated field actually works from a nano perspective, like isolating. So you're basically getting into this Bucky Band-Aid concept. I think it's fascinating, folks. I don't want to keep taking up all your airtime, but I just got to tell you, I'm kind of one of those weird scientists who hear about things, and I just, you know, when JP talks about, you know, he's replacing his salt and pepper with shungite, it makes me laugh and smile. It makes me want to look a little more. So thanks again, you guys, for just doing what you're doing.
No, well, thank you for your support. And, you know, seriously, it's up to everybody to get involved in it. This is it. All we're doing is putting it out there on the table, and people have got to do their own experimentation. And listen to the shows, because you'll learn a tremendous amount listening to Walt and why he is making a certain device a certain way and the science behind it. It's just fascinating. And so I deeply appreciate your support. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely want to revisit the site and, you know, I think talk about it with some more of my friends. But let's try to create some positive energy for Gaia, and let's get some funding together so we can keep you guys moving on in a strong way. Because you've got a team out here that you didn't know exist, but I just want to let you know they do exist. And they support Revolution Radio, and they support everything that you guys are doing. So, because you guys are really about helping people, and you're about the future. So thanks for bringing cutting-edge technology and information, because we don't really get that in the mainstream, you know, media. We get it here with you guys. So thanks again.
Okay, before you go, I want to tell you one thing. A few weeks ago, we sort of like infected the satellite systems with shungite. So there is now a shungite shield above Earth at the level of the satellite set it up, but it's really the Earth grid is not limited to the surface of the Earth. It goes up in layers. And the top layer is the layer where the satellites just happen to be. And so when we infected the satellite system, the entire grid system of the higher echelon took on this shungite field. And that field is protecting the planet to such a degree that extraterrestrial ships, or maybe interdimensional, we're not exactly sure which ones, they can't get through the shield. But the important thing for people to know is that you have a shield of shungite over you. You do not physically have to have shungite. Just call on the energy that is absolutely surrounding you and say, you know, do this. And I know this sounds preposterous, but we know that this is what's happening. And one of the key things to look at is the chemtrails. Are you seeing chemtrails? And we need to know this because we have to validate what it is we're saying and what it is we think we're experiencing. So if you guys are seeing chemtrails, let us know that. But if you're not seeing chemtrails, let us know that. And if you still are seeing chemtrails, look at them and say, look it. I want to enact the shungite shield. I want this stuff to stop in my vicinity, what I have dominion over. Because one of the things that we are incredibly understanding is that the power of everything is the human thought. When the quantum physics, and I got this through studying quantum physics, when you go down to the quantum level, every experiment can be manipulated by human thought. Well, if it can be manipulated at the quantum level, it can be manipulated anywhere. So sometimes we put up an energy grid, an energy field, but it takes a human being to activate it. It takes human thought to activate it. We're all in this together. Everybody is part of the piece of the puzzle that is necessary for us all to get further along the road. So, but you do have that satellite above you, so use it, please.
Nancy, sounds great. Thank you for, you know, letting me know about this, because it's amazing the power of intent and what the vibration is carried through with that power of intent. I know JP talks about that a lot. He's on the cutting edge of that. But yeah, the intent is really amazing. And when you're dealing with shungite and you deal with, you know, this type of, like you say, a gift from Gaia, you know, gift from Gaia, this higher frequency energy, we're actually projecting a healing bubble, a healing vibration. And yes, I agree that it's important we all get to, you know, talk about this and study this, but it's amazing the cleansing of the water and then the potential dissipation of chemtrails. I mean, we need to function together as a group and focus with proper intent. I just, God, you guys are, I want to go to your school, you guys. This is cool stuff, okay? Cool beans coming from Rob in New Mexico. Keep it up, you guys, seriously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks very much, Rob. So, now, where was we? There was a question. Arose? Oh, yeah, there we go. What's happened? There he's gone. Yeah, it's gone. A question has arisen from the chat room. Indeed, where the hell did it go? I think it went in. There we go. This is from Karen Kirschbaum. Hi, Karen. Wolfman J. Has anyone made a shungite ink to create a written prayer, blessing, or
spell?
Or indeed, I imagine that we could use the aforementioned ink and PVA or whatever methods to create symbols made out in the shape of different things in shungite. You know, you could have an om, you could have all these things, and they would have a feel that had that flavor to them. What do you think, everybody?
Yes, that's why you use, that's why you have to use pencil when you write either homeopathic symbols or Reiki symbols. You use a pencil because the graphite is conductive. So you're essentially like drawing a circuit when you're drawing the symbol. So why couldn't you do it in shungite?
Great answer. Thank you very much. Nancy?
You're welcome. Actually, we have thought about So much concerning that. Jean Rockefeller has got downloads, and she sent them to me, and she said, I don't know what these things are, but the watchers want you to have them. And so I, as soon as I looked at them, and I said, oh, cool, they were very intricate geometry designs. And I said, oh, cool, you know, if you put the, if you just, you know, use this Jungite ink and you could make these things, they would be a very, very powerful thing, whatever they're saying or doing. And so she finishes the email to me to say that Jack says you'll know what to do. And so what I did was exactly what I knew to do. I called Walt. I said, Walt, take a look at these things. What the heck are they? Oh, he says, well, that's a such and such. And he could tell you. What were they, Walt?
Oh, well, to me, they're mnemonic devices in the sense that I've seen others before. These are totally different. You put them on a wall in front at eyesight level. Let's say you're sitting and you're looking at the wall, and you're not supposed to look at the graphics so much as you have to relax your eyes. So you're not focusing on anything specific. It's like you're trying to focus beyond it. And you will notice that the graphic actually begins to vibrate, it, like as if it were painted on jelly, and lines appear and disappear. When that happens is because the two hemispheres of the brain are active at the same time. They're synchronized. So you just allow yourself to do that. I guess you have to use your inner feeling to know how many times you need to expose yourself to the graphic, because what it's doing is just reactivating or turning on circuits that have long been abandoned inside you. So they're helping you. It's a like a recall device, you know, allowing you to recall other layers of knowing that you already have.
So to answer the question, yes, anybody can take Shungite powder, and we don't sell Shungite powder, but you can get it just by Googling Shungite powder. And you can, or maybe Jay, maybe you sell it, I don't know. But when you can make your own ink, basically, and you can do these designs and use them, you know, whatever your guides are suggesting the image that you need to see. You don't have to go to anybody for this. You can do it yourself.
And so basically, you're creating, it's almost like a magical ink for a magical spell. And it's about intent. Again, what is the meaning of it? The best thing for me, if I was to make one, it would be something that radiated a blessing. You know, like I have Tibetan things that have on Mane Padme Hung, sort of carved in the side in Sanskrit, that sort of thing.
As regard a curse, though, I need to point this out. Shungite cannot be used for evil. If you do not have a pure heart, anything that we're telling you will not work. Just pointing that out. No curses.
Asses may be bitten.
Or it'll blow up in your face. Which is fun, right?
Face may be feces. Bringing us round.
We're back on beards again.
Yeah, beards. Well, you know, okay, it's still
full circle.
That's right. We like to tie things up here. I saw this other way of tying up the shoelaces, which was weird. You kind of loop up the you take your lace and you loop it back so that you've got a loop coming out of either side. Then you sort of knot those loops up. It's really weird. But anyway, there's like a new way of tying up your shoelaces. There's always new ways. There's a new way of making a tie knot as well. Have you seen that? Like a triple way knot? I've never done it. I can't. I'm hard enough with.
I like my mom found some a special type of elastic shoelaces on Amazon, because I've always liked Velcro enabled shoes because they're so easy.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Slap the Velcro on. Well, these things are even less work than Velcro because it has a sliding lock, like the sliding locks. You know, your winter coats, your raincoats. The cording around your waist has like a sliding lock, so you can tighten it up around you, around your waistline. These are elastic laces, and they have a slide lock. So you move the slide lock away from the shoe, you put your foot in, and then you slide it back, and it's like you're wearing house slippers on your sneakers.
That lock onto your feet, like
yeah,
so
yeah.
Excellent. So they're like yeah. So that sounds like fun.
Remember the Marty McFly Nike sneakers on Back to the Future 2?
No. to grate the shungite enough to fill a printer cartridge. Well, this is the thing, you know, you'd need some very, very fine shungite powder. You could probably get it, you know, it'd need to be smaller than the 0.0 that you normally get. You can just, I'm sure there's a finer grade sort of nano shungite rather than micro shungite, and there's probably stations in between.
I wouldn't like to go near it because it turns into smoke.
That's true.
Breathing it, not touching it.
Yeah, because when it the further it gets towards the nano, the less it cares about gravity and stuff. It's like, this stuff doesn't give a damn. Don't give it nothing. Well, who's that? What's that honey badger? You know, it's the honey badger of material, because it doesn't care. You can throw heat at it. You can throw light. You can insult it. You can throw curses at it. It's just like. Yeah.
The only way I've been able to capture that is by when I'm making the powder, I'm filing it down with water, so the water is capturing it, and then I have to, you know, evaporate the water, and it's incredibly it develops like crusts, you know, when talcum powder, mm-hmm. you mix it with water and then it dries out, it makes like these little crusts. That's how fine it is.
Mm. Nice. So you've got some flour. You basically got some flour. That's the sort of stuff you can make an ink out of. You could probably got your second grade there. You got your fine grade there. Who's to say that's very.
But it's a ton of work.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Let me just ask you this: if you were doing it instead of using water and you were using something that would be a base for ink, would that work?
Well, I guess in that case, then you would just strain it. You would go through different grade strainers so that you could, you know, let the bigger particles go through and then retain the fine ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I don't know what the base, the liquid is. What does
isopropyl alcohol? Isopropyl alcohol.
Okay, would that burn up in the process of? I mean,
it evaporates quite readily. Yeah, that's why they use it.
Yeah, you have to keep replenishing it because it would evaporate so very quickly.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid
of.
But
you know, if this is her, and indeed, you could take an old-fashioned felt pen, right? Get your shungite flour, add isopropyl alcohol to the mix, and then undo a felt tip pen. And crack it open, a Sharpie, you call them Sharpie, crack it open, and take that little that little column in there, that little stick, and fill it up with your shungite ink, and then you literally have a shungite Sharpie. So you could do that with silver saturate your shungite Sharpie. Yeah, I'm getting alliterative tonight. Silver saturated shungite Sharpies. With shungite ink that would be made with isopropyl alcohol and your flour there, Walt. What do you think?
Wow, that's too expensive. There's a risk I could get mugged for it. That would be like $1,000 pen there.
But yeah, I mean, and then what you'd have is something that would draw a circuit. You would, you know, whatever you drew with this would have power. And a field.
No, you're getting short, JP. Because remember how psychoactive the shungite is. It goes beyond being a circuit. It reacts to your intent. So that's just the starting point.
Well,
so if you remember you said a prayer, like a blessing. So that's now you're adding another dimension of energy into that blessing, since the shungite is so active, because you could be giving the shungite instructions. Okay, where do you want this blessing, or how high do you want this blessing to go, or how many dimensions do you want it to span? Because that's one of the things we were talking with Nancy. is that I can't speak for all minerals out there, but for the shungite, it's active in all the dimensions. It just looks different in other dimensions, but it goes all the way from first dimension to, I guess, the highest. I mean, what other materials make the same claim?
So there you go. The, and it would also respond to your intent as you made it, as you drew it, like like a monk that made a mandala, you know? They're orienting all the molecules in a spiritual form, you know, it's like a fractal form. So this is a very interesting line of thinking. And, once it dries, oh, there's another idea from Vanessa, which is to draw with an adhesive pen and then sprinkle the powder on it. But it's as I said, it's quite light. It does have a tendency to just stick.
Well, it would just be bigger particles. That's it.
You'd have to sort of turn it over and tap it to get rid of the excess. But it's all experimentation at this time, because we're only just discovering that you can do things with this material that that we've been needing. Let's just discuss again the things about it. It's superconductive. I think this is something you were talking about earlier, Nancy, is that it accelerates. It seems to accelerate electron path. It accelerates the flow, and to that end, if you carry it with you, then you tend to get involved with more and more synchronicities. It throws you more into your spiritual.
It accelerates both the electrical and the magnetic fields. So, and it also connects to the argon field because of the magnetic field. Walt has discovered that the magnetic field and the argon field are connected by the relationship of octave, that the argon field is actually 5 octaves above the magnetic field.
Eight.
So, when, say again, eight?
It's eight. It's eight. No, sorry. The when I was dowsing the question, and I was asking what is magnetism and what is argon, it turns out that that's why they behave in similar fashion, because they are essentially the same. It's just that argon is sitting 5 octaves above magnetism. They are separated by five octaves of dimension. And then I proceeded, because I really wanted to get to the bottom of, we know that on the Shungite spirit spiral, the argon flow in the wire is being accelerated 4 times. It's flowing at 4 times the speed of electric current. And that's why the wire gets cold. So I wanted to know if there was a way to accelerate the flow of magnetic lines. And it, under certain conditions that have to be met, yes, it is possible. You can do that. And when it does that acceleration, it accelerates the magnetic line 5 times what it normally flows. And when you do that, when you accelerate the magnetic lines, a whole bunch of things happen. I don't know. Nancy's the one who's got the security clearance. I don't know if it if it can be said or not said on the radio at this time.
In regards to,
well, you know, are we allowed to say that the things that happen when you accelerate the magnetic lines?
Sure.
Like, for example, the thing. Well, it started in the case of the physical body. I coupled it. I created a cell using 8-pound rare earth magnets. And the condition that has to be met is that a magnet has to be sandwiched in layers of shungite, whether it's powder or a nugget, and the layer has to be at least as thick as the body of the magnet. When you do that, the magnetic lines get accelerated. And I was surprised to see this thing putting out a voltage when there's nothing there to create a voltage. It's just magnets and shungite powder. And when I coupled it in series with my mother's body, she started experiencing changes, so I started asking more questions, and it turns out that the accelerated magnetic lines is actually allowing the etheric telomeres in the chromosomes. You know, when the, you know this mechanism when cells divide, when you have cell fission, at the ends of the chromosomes, you have these markers called telomeres, and as the cells replicate, the telomeres get shorter and shorter. So science uses that to explain the manifestation of aging, because as the cells replicate, the next copy is not as good as the original, because you lose telomeres from copy to copy to copy. But the etheric telomeres are intact. They never shorten. They never run out. And you have heard Frank Jordan speak of this, that at some point, somewhere, somehow, there's a disconnect between the physical and the etheric telomeres. So when my mom started experiencing all these changes, I started asking with my dowsing if this was being achieved, if the accelerated magnetic lines were reestablishing the connection, the synchronicity between the etheric telomeres and the physical. And the answer was yes. Because she was getting a kind of a message when she was lying down with this thing. And she goes, what does the synchronize mean? And I said, what? So I started asking with my dowsing if that's what was happening. And yeah, she's had amazing, all the problems that she had with her legs are gone. She thinks she's got a new pair of legs. So the changes are continuing. They keep progressing. And I think that's the tip of the iceberg. Because can you imagine accelerating magnetic lines? What can't you do?
So hang on a second. You zim past that one. Tell us, what did you do that produced the voltage, Walt? This could be a new line of investigation for people.
Well, what I did is I encased the whole thing like in a test tube, and I just had copper terminals on the end. I made a layer of Shanghai powder, and the magnet is almost the same identical diameter as the test tube, so it would fit in perfectly inside. You know, these are disc magnets. So I made a layer. The Shanghai powder is 50-50, so it's 50% regular, 50% silver saturated. So then I planted one magnet, then created another layer equal to twice the thickness of the magnet, then planted another magnet on top. So the end result was I had 3 8-pound magnets under sandwich between layers of Shanghai powder. And then all I did was on the bottom, on the top, I just put a copper terminals, and the terminals are not touching the magnets. They're just sitting there touching the powder. And I started measuring in the millivolts. I actually started measuring millivolts coming out of this thing, and why am I seeing a voltage? It makes no sense.
Right, well, there we go. That's how you do it. Thank you very much, Walt. Walt Silver, thank you very much, Nancy. Nancy L. Hopkins, cosmicreality.net. What's yours called?
NewParadigmTools.com.
NewParadigmTools.com. FBOnRadio.com, WallStreetRadio.com, CosmicReality.com. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, listeners. Bye, Walt. See you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, Nancy. Take care, JP.
Spirit, Cosmic Reality Show, Eastern Time 7.
Conscious Living. Wall Spirit Radio's Michelle Caruso discusses how to gain an understanding of your own unique set of gifts.